This is Hal Hester, lead pastor of Vine Life, and this is our podcast, The Empowered Word. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on what God is doing in your life. Please enjoy the message.
Good morning. Welcome. I'm just going to get myself set up. I thought I was, but just bear with me for a moment. Okay, I can't get my Bible up. I don't know what happened. Anyway, my name is Kathy Currier, and I am filling in for Pastor Hal today. So it is an honor and it is a privilege to be standing here before the Bride of Christ. Awesome. It is awesome. God is with us. He has a word for all of us today. And in this word, he's going to take us into a path that, well, I can't get my Bible to come up. So I'm going to be reading off of the screen. So I hate to turn my backs on you when the time comes, but that's what I'm going to have to do. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about myself for those that don't know me. Gary and I, my husband, we've been together for 40 years, and yeah, good long time. Good marriage, good everything. And we've been in Vine Life now for 7 years. So God has taken us on a journey. I've been serving the Lord intimately for 32 years, and He has changed my life in such a way that I am absolutely a new creation in Christ Jesus. That old person was passed away. He's done a work inside of me that I can only give him credit for, because there's no way I could have changed what was going on inside of me. There's no way. If I could have, I would have, but I couldn't. So he was the one that took a hold of me. But there was something I had to do. I had to yield. I had to surrender. I had to give him everything inside of me. And let me tell you something. Growing up, I knew about Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I didn't understand the whole scenario of dying for me and all of that. Went to a little church in Massachusetts that was not spirit-filled, and it was kind of like just there. So as I grew up, I kind of like went away from the church. But 32 years ago, Gary and I were in the process of moving here to Florida and from Massachusetts, and I didn't know it was the Lord, because I didn't know the Lord like this. I didn't have that intimate relationship. But the Lord began moving in my heart, and I kept hearing, go back to church. And I kept saying to Gary, I feel like we need to go to church, which wasn't like me, because that's not where I was at all. I was very much in the world. And so when we moved out here, He ordained all of this completely. So when I moved out here, He began to put me in front of Christians. And I kept hearing, find a church, a spirit-filled church. Well, how would I know what a spirit-filled church was? Because I'd never even heard that lingo before. But I was hearing it inside me. And so I ended up finding this Christian woman, and she started talking to me about the Lord, and I was so hungry. I was so hungry. Everything inside of me began to just yearn and desire him. And I was thirsting after, there was a hole inside of me, you know? And I had to fill that hole. I didn't know, you know, we go through our life and we try things, we want to fill that hole, we think this is it, that this is it, and it's not. It's him, it's all him. And so he filled me, and I got to make this short, because I got to get into this. He filled me, overflowing. I had an encounter with him. My spiritual eyes were opened immediately when I received the Lord. And when my spiritual eyes were open, I began to see things in the realm of the spirit that I could not imagine even existed. He, Jesus Christ, became my Savior in every aspect, every part of my life. I couldn't even think of anything but him. I desired him immensely. So that's a little bit about me, and I went on a little bit too long. What we're going to do today is we're going to end up in Matthew 23, and give me a lot of grace on this. It's quite the Matthew 23, and we're going to go through the whole chapter, okay? And so if you have phones, please put them on silent. If you have a Bible app, pull that up. And Gary, can you hand me my phone in my, maybe I'll use that to read from. No, in the zipped up compartment. No, other, front. Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to go ahead and start. We're going to pray. We're going to thank you, Lord. Father, we come before you, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I ask, Father God, that you begin to touch your bride. Begin to move upon her, Father God. Open her eyes to see. Open her ears to hear, Lord. Move blinders in their mind, Father God, that may be there. Remove the yokes and the burdens, Father God. Cover them completely from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet with the blood of the Lamb. I rebuke any form of darkness, any spiritual wickedness right now in Jesus' name. And I say you will not have God's people. I just thank you for all that you're going to do today. We give you honor and glory. I thank you, Father God. I want to lift up Pastor Hal and his family. I ask that you bless them, watch over them. I pray that the blood of Jesus covers them and seals them, Father God. Let whatever their hands touch prosper. Be with them in all things. We pray this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's get into Matthew 23. We have it on the screen. Cool. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor and feast at the best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by others. But you are not called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it's nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing, but if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he's bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they're fully greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. so you also outwardly appear righteous to others. But within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. Thus you witness against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones, those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you for the reading of the word, Father. We bless it in Jesus' name. Okay, so when Pastor Howe was teaching, bringing us in from Matthew 21 is when they entered into Jerusalem. A few days had passed. Now this is the last week of his life. So one thing that I noticed when I'm reading the Old Testament into the New Testament, the Old Testament's always telling us stories of biographies of people's lives, the victories as well as the failures. The New Testament, Jesus is continually teaching parables, showing us the right way from the wrong way to walk and do. And even as we come into this, Matthew 23, again, the message is clear as he again is showing this is the way to walk. Don't be like this, but follow me. So let's talk about Matthew 23. Who is Jesus addressing? Jesus was addressing, originally, he was out in the market and he was addressing the disciples in the crowd, right? However, he knew that the Sadducees and the Pharisees were right around there waiting, so they wanted to hear what he had to say. He knows they're listening, and he's about to reveal their true intentions. In Proverbs 3:12, it says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects, and just as the Father, the Son in whom he delights. To be corrected is to be loved. We correct our children when we see them moving in a direction to cause them harm, right? Our heart is to spare them from getting hurt. We love them. We say, don't touch, stay away from. All words of protection. How much more does the Father see our heart? And how much more does he want to warn us of things that could come to take us out? In Matthew 23, what I kept hearing as I prepared for this, and I kept questioning the Lord, are you sure? Was the one word. And the one word we are all very familiar with. In fact, every single one of us deal with it in one way or another. And that word is pride. Pride protects the sin in a person's life by preventing the person from confessing and admitting their sin or weakness. It dulls our senses, and it opens up spiritual doors. Someone or anyone, any one of us that could be walking in pride, especially if you're fully like where the Pharisees and the Sadducees were, they rarely ask questions of others because they're more interested in their self than in the self of others. They will dominate conversations talking about their self, thinking about how much they know, so that we're impressed with their self. They rarely compliment people, and they wait to be served instead of being served. So the word here is don't be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're hypocrites, and they're placing heavy burdens on you. They use tactics such as intimidation, manipulation, hardness of hearts, hypocrisy, craving attention, recognition, and prestige. They wear religious titles and symbols, and they're wanting respect for who they are and the position that they held. It's all pride. So we're going to just take a look at, I'm going to steer us over into the behavior of pride so that we can see, and when we're doing this, please know that the heart of the Father is he loves those that he corrects, right? And there's not one of us in here that does not have issues. Not one of us, because I have issues. We all have issues, and there's nothing wrong with that. The main thing is that we allow the Father to come in, to look at the heart, and then to yield it over to him, to not stop him from showing you what's in there, even as comfortable, uncomfortable as it may get. And it can get uncomfortable, believe me. So here are some behaviors of pride. And I would just say along the way, let's check our hearts. Let's see what's going on in our hearts. Arrogance, haughtiness, a self-centeredness, self-righteousness, a resistant to God's will, condescending, critical attitude towards others, bragging, self-promotion, unable to receive correction or instruction. Pay attention to that one, because that trips up a lot of people. Because we all kind of think we got it together. Right? I want to see some smiles. We make excuses, and we shift the blame. We have an inability to be wrong or to say, I'm sorry. We make comparisons with others. We keep secrets. We lack transparency. We may interrupt or control conversations, and we're overly sensitive. We can be defensive, argumentative, and we can also have a harsh spirit. Those things we need to take a look at anytime we're checking our own heart. We don't need to worry about our spouse or the one next to us or somebody else in our life. We need to worry about us because God is working on us individually, right? He wants to remember, you're called, you're anointed, you're the temple of the living God, you're a holy nation, you are called to fulfill a purpose. You are just not born just to be born and to just live out some kind of a life. You were born with a purpose to be fulfilled so that God can come in. The only way he can do this is when you surrender this to him, when you say, Lord, I don't have this together. I need you. And then we come into that intimacy and that time with him, and we allow him to move. 10 dangers of being prideful are alienating God and others. Excessive pride can push people away, and it can come across as arrogant and superior. It's going to hinder your growth. It's going to dull your senses, and your perception is not going to be where you think it is. You may think, oh, no, I can see clearly. No, you cannot. It's going to damage relationships. You're going to have missed opportunities that God has planned for you. You don't want to do that. You're going to ignore feedback. You're going to be overconfident. And then you may isolate due to stress and anxiety. Pride can come from insecurity, lack of self-worth and fear, titles, education being the all-in-all, intellectual ruling, and fear of being rejected. And there's probably more, but I just did a really narrow one. Let me share a quick story about me, how pride works. I had been invited, this is quite a few years ago, I'd been invited, I was part of a Bible group and I was going, and the leader had called me and asked me, will you go ahead and lead this particular class on a subject that I was very, very familiar with, and I flowed very well in it. So I was like, absolutely, I would love to do that. So I got all my stuff together, my paperwork, and was ready to go. I get over to the group, and I'm sitting there, papers on my lap, and the leader brings us into prayer, and then she says, okay, today leading the group is this person over here, and it wasn't me. And I went, what just happened? What just happened? And so I had a mask immediately, whoosh, cover that face, don't let them see. Don't let them see, because right now, you're pretty upset because you just got dumped. You really just got dumped, Kathy. Okay, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. I'm just going to sit here, put this mask on. I don't want them to see that I'm upset. Please don't let them see that I'm upset. So put the smile on my face. Act like everything is great, right? But inside, I'm seething. I'm upset. So now this person starts teaching, right? She did a good job, but I could have done better. That's what I was thinking. And I kept critiquing her in my mind, not out loud. In my mind, I'm critiquing her, going, oh, she missed that. Oh, she missed that. And then all of a sudden, I started feeling this yucky feeling inside. Really yucky feeling. And I'm like, what is that? What's happening, Lord? And I heard him very clearly. And he said, that's pride. And I went, what? That's pride. And immediately I went, okay. And so I'm going, this is not good. So I waited till I got home. I got before the Lord. And I said, okay. I got pride. Where did this come from? Oh my gosh. So let's deal with it, Lord. Let's, because that's what I do. The minute something is revealed to me, I don't bury it under the carpet. I don't flush it away. I go right before the King of Kings because I want my heart to be pure. I want to make sure whatever he's doing inside of me is him doing it inside of me and not Kathy. So I sat there before him and I said, okay, Lord, where'd this come from? And I just, okay, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I went there. I cannot even believe I went there. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And Father, I just come out of agreement with this spirit right now. I come out of agreement with what this is. I renounce it, and I command it to go. Now, the reason I command it to go is because every time you have a wound, you have a trauma, you have any kind of sin working in and through you, there is a spirit that attaches itself to that thing, and it triggers you. It will trigger you. That's why wounds don't heal unless you bring them before the Lord. That's why traumas don't go away unless you bring it before the Lord. That's why sin does not leave until you bring it before the Lord. It's the Lord that comes in and deals with it. And that spirit, what that spirit does for the fishermen is it takes the, and it hooks you. And you find yourself constantly dealing with that same thing over and over again, and you're like, why can't I get rid of this? Why am I stuck here? Because you have to bring it before the Lord. You have to cut off the attachment that thing has assigned itself. The enemy assigns itself to things in our lives, and it uses those things to keep us in a place that we cannot grow, in a place where we're stunted, so that we cannot fulfill the complete calling that God has for us. It's amazing, but he wants to dismantle the call. And don't tell me you don't have a call, because you all have a call. Every single one of you have a call. A call to fulfill, a purpose to fulfill. So at that moment, I thought, okay, I'm done. And then the Lord says to me, now, that was good, but now call her and ask for forgiveness. And I went, huh? And he's like, yeah, go ahead. Really? Okay. So I did. Picked up the phone, I called her, and I said, so This is what was going on. I'm sorry. Can you please forgive me? I just went through, I just realized I didn't know I had this, and I've repented of it already, and the Lord told me to call you and to ask for forgiveness. And she said, Kathy, I love you. You're forgiven. See, that's the way we're supposed to respond, right? We're not supposed to sit there and fume at one another. If we're in Christ, then we're in Christ. The Spirit of God lives within us, right? He's the one that moves and breathes and has his being inside of us. So how do we get past pride if we're dealing with this? Humility is the opposite of pride. Faith replaces fear. In Philippians 2:3, it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. The world will tell you, it's you, you, you. But if you're in Christ, in the kingdom of God, and you're truly serving the King of Kings, it's not about you. It's about him. And so he will take us through this journey. Because I know I've been going through it. And I'm still going through it. And I'm going to be going through it until the time the Lord comes and takes us. We all will, right? Jesus compares the humble and the servant-hearted model of his leadership with worldly ambitions of the Pharisees. His followers are called to avoid titles. That's us. And not to elevate others by saying rabbi and father. We're called to be different. We're called to be different. So how can we walk differently as Christians? It's by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who is given to us. Our walk with the Holy Spirit will enable us to persevere the most difficult trials. We have the heart of our Father in heaven. The heart of the Father is his love for all, John 3:16. For God loved, and he gave his only begotten Son. His love, that was his love given to us. Jesus deposited, sent the Holy Spirit so that we would have everything we would need to be able to be transformed into the image of Christ. And so that the fruit of the Spirit would prosper within us. To walk in humility, we must allow the Spirit of God to reveal our hearts to us. In doing this, he begins to heal and deliver us from wounds and traumas, as we said earlier. But if we choose not to look and acknowledge, we set ourselves up to never grow. We become stunted. The wound sits and brews until someone comes along that triggers it. And then it starts all over again. Demonic spirits will attach themselves to the wounds, and as we grumble and complain about the hurt but refuse to heal. We have to look within, acknowledge, forgive, repent, renounce, so that all will go. We have to allow the fruit of the Spirit to be manifest in us. I'm going to take a drink. When we carry any of these things in our life that are harming us, ask yourself, why are you allowing yourself to be harmed in that way? What good is it going to do you to stay there? Don't you want to come up and out? Don't you want your freedom? Don't you want to feel whole and complete? Look, 32 years ago, I was insecure. I dealt with rejection. I never felt like I was whole. And it wasn't until the Lord came and he turned me upside down. He's the only one that could. Because believe me, I could tell you a few things about yourself back then. But today, all I feel is the love of the Father. And there's nobody that could do that except for Jesus, sending the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of me, to transform me, to change me so that I could be all that He created me to be. I didn't know who I was because I was, you know, we're all brought up in our homes. We have traditions, we have cultures, we have things that frame us, things that dictate to us and tell us this is who you are. The world tries to tell you who you are every day. But Jesus has set you aside and He's called you and He's anointed and appointed you to be able to go further, faster, better than you ever were before. But you have to let Him do it. We can say, well, I'm letting Him move in me. He's dealt with this and He's dealt with that, but can I tell you we're like onions? There's layers upon layers upon layers. And when He deals with one form of pride, a year later, there may be another little tidbit there that you didn't know was there. But if you don't acknowledge it and say, no, I already dealt with that. I don't need to deal with it anymore. I renounced it. I prayed. It's all said and done. I don't need to do it again. Yes, you do. Because if He's bringing it to your remembrance, He's trying to tell you, we got a little bit more. If He did it all at one time, you wouldn't be able to handle it. It'd be too overwhelming. We can't even handle the little things that He brings to us. We get all weirded out, and we just go, oh, God, I don't want to look at that today. That's just too much for me. I'm going to sweep that over here. Let's talk about it tomorrow. And God is saying, no, the time is now. Let's talk about it right now. Let's deal with this. So yield yourself over to Him. It's the only way for the transformation to take place. Otherwise, you're going to stay right where you are. You don't want to stay there. You want the best of what God has for you. Oh, and when you feel His manifested presence moving, when you sense His Spirit, there's no other place that you could imagine that could compare to it. There's nothing that can compare to Him. His very breath upon your face, it's unimaginable. His very existence is to fill you, to overflowing, to complete you and make you whole. This is where He wants you to go. So the fruit of the Spirit. We go into Galatians 5, 22. And this is what He gives you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There it is. So how do I move through this? If I'm dealing with anger, how do I move through that if suddenly I get triggered? You stop what you're feeling. You say, no, I'm not going to let you have me today. I'm not going to let you have me today. I'm pressing into the Spirit of the living God. I'm going to press into Him. I'm going to listen to Him. I'm going to take those thoughts captive. They're not going to rule me. They're not going to have me. And I crush them under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how it begins. And then it becomes a process where the discipline, every day, every day, every day, and not getting lazy and saying, oh, I don't feel like doing it today. No, you need to do it today. You need to do it every day. So when the Spirit of God empowers us to be able to stand against anything that, and I mean anything that comes our way, we need to press into Him. When times are tough and the storm arrives, He's our counselor, He's our comforter, He's our teacher. Now, I'm not going to tell you that it is easy when you're in the midst of the storm. It's not easy. And sometimes it is so difficult just to be able to say or open the Word of God. But in those times, put on some worship music. In those times, just bend your knee. And if all you can say is Jesus, then say Jesus. But do it. Because when you do it, you're conforming to Him. You're not standing in agreement with what the enemy wants. See, when we give in to the things of the enemy, what ends up happening is that we align ourselves with the kingdom of darkness at that very moment. When we give in to anger, we're aligning ourselves with the kingdom of darkness. When we give in to pride, we're aligning ourselves with the kingdom of darkness. But when we give in to self-control, we're aligning ourselves with the kingdom of God. And then God can be there, help us. The Holy Spirit comes along. Come on, you can do this. You can do this. Even when you're feeling so overwhelmed, and I know I went through last year, it was the most overwhelming year of my life, and it was not a good year for me, but in all of it, I kept saying, Jesus, He sits on the throne. He knows where I am. And as long as my heart was before him, that's all I needed to know. So be excited when one another is doing well in health and in life and in relationships and in finances. In every area of our life, when we see one another excel, don't become jealous, don't become offended, don't be saying, what happened to me? I've been sitting here waiting for this all this time. How come this didn't happen to me? Don't be that way. Walk in love. Walk in grace. Be kind, gentle, faithful. In 1 Thessalonians 5:14, it says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Again, we're all called. We all have the Spirit of the living God within us, and each one of us has the same ability to learn. Every single one of us has the same ability because we have the same Holy Spirit. To learn, to lean into the Holy Spirit, who then enables us to stand, to resist the flesh and the power of the enemy. In John 14:26, the Lord is saying this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what I have said. As we see with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, not all will desire to be humbled as they press in to understand the kingdom of God. And even as they see the healings, the delivering power, and the miracles right before their eyes, still their hearts will remain hard. And even today, not all will allow the Spirit of God to transform them. In Ephesians 4:5, it says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Not all will allow the transformation. Not all will submit to the will of the Father. There's always a cost, but there's a cost of being in the world. There's a cost of walking in Christ. But the better cost, you guys, is the cost that brings glory to God. In Proverbs 7:23, he's talking about, till an arrow pierces its liver, and as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it's going to cost him his life. What could it cost you? Matthew 23, it's a good time to reflect on our own walk with the Lord. Have we put ourselves in a place we desire or that we crave attention, a title, a position? Please know there's nothing wrong with doing something good, doing something well and being promoted. That's great. There's nothing wrong with being given a position because you're doing something really good, right? It's when you do something with the wrong motive. You want the position for yourself and you want the glory. That's when we have a problem. That's what the world tells you. It's all about you and no one else. Now, we're going to come into almost wrapping this up. When we talk about the Lord dealing with our hearts, we want to be aware that there's conviction. And then there's condemnation, and you need to know the difference between the two of them. So conviction is a feeling of awareness that leads to growth and change. A godly grief that leads to repentance and joy. It's loving guidance from God that shows you the answer to your problem. Conviction is an actual invitation from God. Whereas condemnation, you're going to have a feeling of guilt, punishment that leads to despair, a worldly grief that leads to death, and a feeling that you're never going to reach the mark, a feeling that you're a failure, and you've messed up badly. But when God convicts, he corrects those he loves. The Pharisees and Sadducees, when the Lord began to turn and speak to them, you know what his heart was that I felt? I felt like he was at that very moment so overwhelmed with grief for them because he saw their eternity and where they were heading. And his heart was to reach out to them one more time. Let me speak to them one more time. Yes, in authority. Yes, with harshness. But sometimes that's what it takes to pull you back in, to get you back on track. They'd seen the miracles. They had seen the healings. They saw everything, and yet they were not swayed. So we can see miracles, right? We can see healings. And yet we can still be deceived. We can still be seduced into doing the wrong thing. Because all of that is great, but what you really need in the midst of all of that, you guys, is Yeshua. You need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need that intimate, deep relationship where you hear him and you feel him and you know him. You know his voice. You know his touch. You know where he wants to lead you. That's what it's all about. And if you have that, you've got it all. All. Our walk has to be in Christ. And when you're in Christ, he's going to take you through. He's going to reveal your heart. And you may not like what you see. But that's okay. Because he loves you. And he desires more than anything a relationship with you. He desires to take you and put you out there so that you can pour into other people. When we walk through things in our life, we're able to then minister to other people that are going through the exact same thing. Maybe a little bit different. Maybe they're in a place that life has really thrown them something really hard. But you've just walked through something in your life, or didn't even have to be just, but a year ago, 2 years ago. But you've walked through some real hard trials and storms. And in the midst of that, you now see a brother or sister that is struggling. And now you can go to them and you can speak life over them. You can begin to pour into them. You can begin to love them, show them God loves you. He's with you. He's not left you. You may feel like he's left you, but he has not. He's right there in the midst, and he's got his arms around you, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. So my sister and my brother, I speak life over you. I speak life and prosperity over you. I speak God's blessings to come upon you, and that your eyes will see, and you will not focus on the storm, but you'll focus on the kingdom of God, because it's a kingdom of God inside of you that wants to work and have its way within you, so that it can transform you into the image of Jesus Christ, that it can fulfill all that he has for you right here and now. And if that is you today, if any one of you today are feeling like, I want what that is, I want that transformation, I need all of him, and I'm willing to just leave all of this behind. I don't want to pet my demons anymore. I don't want to pet the sickness. I don't want to pet the disease. I don't want to pet the unforgiveness. I want it gone. I want it all gone. Then now is your moment. Now is the time. We're going to have our prayer team come up to the altar, and they will pray with you. They will come into agreement with you, and they will do whatever they need to do to bring you into that place, but there's something you have to do. You have to yield. You have to submit to God, because you're not going to get there unless you do. And if you want to stay where you are, that's between you and the Father. But the Father has so much more for you. Are you willing to give him all that you have and stop making excuses for, but I'm so busy. I can't do that. I got this going. No. Jesus went to the cross for you. How much more how much more can we give back? It's all about transformation and getting rid of what's ever there, whether it be pride, unforgiveness, whatever. Now's your opportunity. Every day is an opportunity, right? It's every day. Every day is an opportunity. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. We are so blessed. There's only one way to rid yourself of pride, and it's a complete, total surrender of your heart. And I'm going to keep telling you that and telling you that. In His will, because in the end, Jesus is it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're going to go ahead and pray. You can turn out the lights. Father God, I thank you for everything that you have just poured out. I thank you for the bride of Christ. Thank you for my brothers and my sisters. I thank you for each and every one of them are unique. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. I ask, Father God, to manifest yourself, to manifest your presence, that they would have an encounter that would draw them even deeper and closer to you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would rise up within them and stir the flame. Bring a fire within their heart. Remove those things that need to go. Saturate them. Cover them. Keep them. I pray, Father God, as they leave today, that they leave different, that they leave hungry, that they leave thirsting after you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for wholeness and healing over their spirit, soul, and body. Have your way, Lord. We give you honor and glory. We love you so much, and we thank you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, that we pray. I'm going to go ahead and have our prayer team come on up. And if you need prayer, please come forth. And I encourage you, please, do not let this sit. Come forth, receive prayer. Conversations, if you could just take place out in the lobby, that would be very much appreciated. Thank you. Be blessed.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast today. If you did, there's two things you could do for me. First, subscribe to our channel. That way, the most recent podcast will always be in your feed, ready when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you, would you help us to continue to reach others by clicking on the link in the description to give now? Until next time, thank you so much for listening to The Empowered Word.